Yes, wrong one. Good morning and welcome to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil. I'm Lucas.
I'm Phil.
And today, once again, as always, we have a very,
very
special
episode
for you.
For Phil, yuns.
Why is it special today?
It's special because we're all special, Lucas.
We've all been made special. It's from VeggieTales, right? God made you special, and he loves you very much. Also, every day when I left for high school, my mom said, you're a very special student.
Aw.
So, that's Mama's special boy.
That's awesome.
And then they made fun of me. All right, and
every day when I left for high school, my mom said, Phil, you forgot your... And then fill in the blank.
Ah, yes.
And then after I was out the door, she said, Phil, you forgot your...
Yeah.
I always forget stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm that guy.
Well, that guy. Tell me, Philip.
Yes?
Did you forget or do you remember?
I remember.
What's the best thing you had to eat this week?
Thing I had to eat this week.
Best it wasn't thing you this had week. To eat this week.
I must confess it was not this week, but I wish it had been because
it was
my
so
wife
tasty.
And I, one of the things we do on a regular-ish basis is go out for Saturday morning breakfast. And
Brecky.
We went to a place in Tulsa. I'm going to shout you out, Sunrise Cafe.
Sunrise.
In Tulsa, South Tulsa, 101st Street and Sheridan, I think, something like that. So we went there a few weeks ago, and they have a couple of any of their omelets, you can turn them into bowls, which to me is just, it's amazing.
That's
what happens when you take, they have omelets, which must be great recipes. They got a couple that I turned into bowls, which means they have hash browns, and then you scramble the eggs, and you put all the ingredients from the omelet in with it and sort of scramble it together.
Right.
Delicious. Shout out to Sunrise Cafe. They also have some, like, the first time we went, they said, oh, it's your first time here, and they brought us free stuff. A free, like a deep fried little apple tasty turnover thing. So, I think the heat just came on. You hear that?
No,
you don't have headphones.
I don't. No,
no, it's all good.
It's not the heat. They're doing something in the other room. They're grinding beans.
It's also special because once again, we are at the Manville Avenue Coffee Company.
I feel like all of our jingles are still the same,
no,
but that's okay.
No,
there's
subtle differences.
I mean, again, previewing my curmudgeonry, I listened to your other podcast, and y'all's jingles are not as good as ours.
You're right. There's just something missing.
I don't know what it is. It's me. I am what's missing. So,
Yeah.
They were like, you know.
We might as well just go ahead and talk about it. The Thriving in Ministry podcast, which we would encourage you all to listen to.
We would. Sure. This is for you, Kyle.
Which I am a...
Phil is the...
I'm a part of that.
He's the third member. It's his side chick. So it's his side podcast. We are the original, he loves this podcast the most, and he stands that one.
It's true. But technically,
Phil pays to be here. He gets paid to be there. So this one is more of his heart.
I never thought of it that way, Lucas.
Yeah, yeah.
This costs me money. That one I get paid for.
He's like, I've got to go.
I'm out.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. I never thought about it that way before.
Well, Phil.
Anyway.
Your omelet bowls sound delicious.
So, yeah, my omelet bowl is delicious, but the Thriving in Ministry podcast made an attempt, and I was complicit in the
attempt.
Yeah,
you did not stand up for... I was hurt a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
I was ashamed of myself.
I wish I could play for you our phone conversation, because I said, Phil, what are you doing?
I was like, I don't know. I was sorry.
Hurt. Yeah.
They tried to steal Gen Z word apostrophe the week.
I know they did. And it felt like in the movie, like, you know, the guy and the girl are walking together, the robber comes up and steals her purse, and the guy just stands there like, what do you want me to do about it? And this is what it felt like.
I was that
when
guy.
They took it. Phil was standing there looking at me like, what do you want me to do about it? Like, I don't know. So I told them we'd fight them in the parking lot. And Phil doesn't think we could win. I don't think Phil knows who I am.
Well, maybe Lucas could win. I would not.
Phil could stand behind me. I am like a rabid dachshund, okay? They are the most dangerous dog. Kyle and Matt may be bigger than me, but I will assume I am quicker. And
you are definitely quicker. I don't know. Matt's pretty tough.
Sorry, Kyle, you didn't make the cut. So they tried to steal Gen Z word. Well, we you know, we're gonna do the Gen Z word of the week right now.
The Phil. Real Gen Z word.
The
of the
real
week.
Gen Z word of the
Gen
week.
Gen Z word of the week.
In fact, this word describes them. If they think they can steal this.
Oh, well, see, now you gave me a hint.
Is DeLulu.
Oh, you know, I said in the last episode, sometimes I love these words and sometimes I hate them. I love this one already because, oh my gosh, Gen Z. Shout out to Gen Z for using a word like DeLulu.
DeLulu.
DeLulu. Can you spell it? You can't use it in a sentence because then
D-E-L-U-L-U.
D-E-L-U-L-U.
DeLulu.
Oh, man. DeLulu. I'm going to say the first thing that comes to my mind is... I don't know. I can't say that. It's a DeLulu is a person who is lost in their own little world, like in La La Land. That's like, all that comes to my mind.
Kind of like they're delusional.
Ooh. Am I right?
You are right there. Oh, yeah, Phil. Goodness. DeLulu is simply short for delusional. So like the
no way. That was a roundabout way. I got there by
whatever way. Website I find these on, which is a bunch of
did
different
you ever
ones,
make so. A wrong turn and then figure out that your directions were wrong and you actually made the right turn? That's what just happened.
Okay, so no. So again, I teach sixth grade math and I had a student who he did the problem backwards at the start. And then he did it backwards again at the end. So I looked at him and I was like, you got this right. But because you did it wrong twice, like, you screwed up twice, which fixed your original screw up. So Phil,
Two wrongs occasionally do make a right.
Exactly. And in this case, you were not DeLulu to think DeLulu meant to be kind of in La La Land. Yes, delusional.
So you would say that Kyle and Matt
are DeLulu.
Are DeLulu.
If they think they're going to steal our segment.
Well, there you have it, folks.
Over under. Can they steal our segment? Give it a solid one. That is overrated. Anyway, as you can see, I'm a little spicy.
And that was Gen Z Word of the Week.
Now, let me tell you, Phil, it's my week for Dad's Story, and I don't have like one specific story, but I have a couple, and I just want to just, my kids are just super cute, right? Okay. They have my heart.
So so now it's time for the segment, Dad's Stories with Lucas.
So I built my girls a bunk bed for Christmas. And
yeah, how did that turn out? I'm sure it's great.
I'm very extra, and I'm a woodworker. So I couldn't go buy a bunk bed because I build everything, right? Like I had to. Yeah. And then I couldn't just scrap some lumber together.
Which was great until they needed a car. The car you built is not great.
Yeah, it's okay. I still have about 12 years to refine it. So, you know, the blowing up will stop by the time they drive it. Anyway, so I built them this bunk bed. It took, I don't know, like 60 to 80 hours of man hours to build this thing. It's nice. But the real point, right, Jubilee's on the bottom, Naomi's on the top, my oldest is on the top. And we'll be in the living room after we put them to bed. And then we'll hear Jubilee like, look over. And then you'll hear Naomi like, hello, or like, good night, you know, and she'll like, Naomi will be like peeking over the side, like basically hanging off the railing of the bed to peek her head down and to look at Jubilee like, hello.
And
like,
oh, and that's her favorite thing is,
look over. Yeah, and Jubilee just, look down, sissy, look down, you know, or like, we'll walk in and they'll both be in the top bunk. And as soon as Jubilee sees us, she'll like, look up surprised. And then she'll like, as fast as she can, start getting out of the bunk bed because she knows she's supposed to be in her bed. And it's like, you think we can't see you? You know? Just like very, very quickly. So
great dad story because, you know, the great thing about having little kids is them being little kids, mm-hmm. you know, such cute stuff.
Yes.
My kids are old and boring.
Oh, well, I like your kids. They seem nice.
No, they're awesome.
They flew.
You know what?
They flew from New York.
My son flew to New York to surprise me for the
from
Super
New
Bowl.
York.
From, what just I said too?
Yeah, it's
from
okay.
New York.
You're a little DeLulu.
I am DeLulu. Half the time.
So,
yeah.
Phil, I think that this leads in perfectly, right? So
yeah.
I got my daughters a gift. It built up their friendship and, yes. and in effect, built up our family. Today, we are talking about spiritual gifts, which the Lord has given to build up the body and build up the family.
Yeah, this is our main course. You know, back when we first started, we'd always talk about, this is the orange juice. This is the cinnamon roll.
We had orange juice,
this is,
coffee.
And this is the main.
Oatmeal. Oh, we kind of got away from oatmeal because I feel like every main course has some oatmeal
it
in
had
it.
Some
like
oatmeal.
This like hard to swallow truth.
Yeah. Which oatmeal shouldn't be hard to swallow, but it helps with digestion. What was the metaphor there?
Well, because it's like oatmeal is, it's not usually like I don't know. When I think of like a delicious breakfast, I never think oatmeal.
Right,
like
the oatmeal is more utilitarian for
exactly.
your digestion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think it was like
anyway, so this is the main course, and we're talking about spiritual gifts.
Yeah, spiritual gifts.
Awesome.
So, Phil, I think just kind of preface in this, like I knew that you were more into the spiritual gifts.
Not a very good Baptist.
Not a very good Baptist. And we met at a Baptist church, both on staff at a Baptist church. And I think since then I have really dove headfirst more into the spiritual gifts
That is the hardest one. I have divin.
I have divin in intricately into these gifts of spirituality.
We know what you're saying. I have gone deeper.
But yeah, and I think it's reading, again, the idea with this is it's reading Acts as an instruction guide, basically, rather than a newspaper article is what we would describe it as. We go to a church which describes itself as a word and spirit church. And so the idea is we believe that God's word is true, and we follow the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will not contradict God's word. But I think a lot of times you at churches where we believe in the Holy Spirit, but not really after salvation, right? Like he saves you and then he'll convict you occasionally of sin. And that's what you get. And they're like, yeah, the gifts, one of the deals I've heard, like the gifts are real, but they happen on the other side of the world, not here. And I'm like, okay.
Which may be true if you're just talking about news article, because quite often, so we have this idea that a lot of things happen more often on the other side of the world. God speaks to Muslims through dreams, through miracles. He heals miraculously so much, seemingly more often in other places where they, you know, like my parents used to say, I'm not dogging my parents at all. They were great Bible students, but used to say, well, where they don't have medical science, then you see healing, you know.
I think you do. I think some of the signs and wonders we hear more about over there. And then the question is it because over there they don't have access, and so there are more dreams and vision, or is it because we have a lack of faith that those things would happen here? And really, like, we're much more likely to be like, oh, it was bad pizza than that it was a dream or vision from the Lord. So I think for me, and I want to dive into more scripture too, but I think for me, just in my kind of journey here, there's a few like kind of highlighted points, and I would just want to share those quickly, and then I want you to have a chance to share maybe some of yours, but these points where the spiritual gifts became more real for me. Number one, I would put, I was at church and I felt like the Lord highlighted someone and said, you should go pray for him. And my response was, God, I don't really know him. I don't know him. And the Lord said,
that's weird.
And God said, like not in an audible voice, but definitely in a voice I could hear him. He said, I know him. That's Tony. And that's what he said. Like,
oh, wow.
Because I think my wording was, I don't know him. I don't know his name. And he was like, I know him. That's Tony. And so I go up to this guy, kind of slowly shuffling my feet to get there. And I'm like, hey, this is a little bit weird for me, but I feel like the Lord wants me to pray for you. Is there anything I could pray for you about? And so we talked, and he's like, what's your name? I'm like, I'm Lucas. What's your name? And he's like, I'm Tony. It's like, no way. It like blew my mind, because I'm like, no.
Not that God knew his name, but that you heard God correctly speak his name to
exactly,
you.
Exactly. Right. Like that God would tell me that. So I go up and I am able to pray for this guy. And it's been like this kind of like, I don't know, you have these moments in your faith that like kind of have this cementing and like building block, I guess, right? Christ is our foundation. And then there's all these moments in our life, I feel like, that build up as we abide in Christ. And so this is one that I can look back on, like it's an altar where I can see that.
Yeah.
The second one in this being, as I was living and trying to live my life segmented and had been living in a pornography addiction, and I had this dream, and in this dream, Tori woke me up and looked me in the eyes and said, I will forgive you. And then I woke up.
Wow.
This was the whole dream. And this was in December, and I had not, December of 22, and then I confessed very early in January of 23, and
to your wife,
to my wife, and I've had complete freedom since then, which has just been amazing. And again, I would love to talk about this more on future
episodes. We'll get into that later.
But just this dream, and it's true. right? Like she has forgiven me. And it's obviously still like multi-year process as we walk through all of this. But I mean, just this vision from the Lord. Like this is not just a normal bad pizza dream. This is right. God had something to say to me. And then third being at our church that we practice prophetic ministry. And so we had signed up for an appointment to go and just have them pray over us. And then they give a word and it's always weigh and discern if you think this is from the Lord.
Right.
You know, it's not, this is for sure from him. You have to listen. It's weigh and discern. Make sure this is for you.
Right. And that there's a scriptural instruction.
Exactly.
Definitely about that, which I guess you're going to read 1 Corinthians 14, maybe.
Yeah, some of it. Yeah. We'll dive in. But so we signed, then we got to talking and so we missed our appointment and they, you know, someone else wanted, and so they gave it away, which is fine. Like, this is good. Well, we're like, okay, cool. We'll come back next week and we'll get another appointment. And then this lady walks up, runs up and she's like, I feel like really the Lord wants to speak to you today and I don't want you walking away without a word from him. And so prays over us. And this was at the point I was looking. I decided, I think, that the Lord had maybe called us away from Mission OKC. I didn't know if it was out of ministry. There was also another opportunity at another church. Like, all of this was kind of swirling around, and yeah. I didn't know what to do. And okay. So she comes up, and the word from the Lord that she had for us was, I feel like you're in a season of change. And that you're waiting on the Lord. And she said the what the Lord has brought to me is about Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac, and that God had given a promise to Abraham that was going to come through Isaac. Abraham got in his own way to do it himself, and instead he got Ishmael. She said, I feel like the Lord has something for you, but you need to wait on him so you can have your Isaac. She said, there's going to be a lot of Ishmaels that come up that you could jump on, but that's not what he has. Wait for the Isaac. And it was just this, like, she has no idea what we're going through.
Right,
like,
right.
We barely know each other's name. She would not have no idea. And so it was just this, like, how is she speaking into our life at this level with anything but the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
Like, God knows what we're going through. He told her so she could tell us. And so just, again, these building blocks, I think, in my life that have just been building up of this belief truly in the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit and these gifts. So,
and not just in the Holy Spirit, because I would say that, you know, even someone who would fall so far on the other side of this line of, to, you know, the charismatic gifts or the gifts in operation for today, even someone who would be a quote unquote cessationist would believe in the Holy Spirit, but in believing in the Holy Spirit's ministry today as it was in the book of Acts, mm-hmm. believing that. It's more in believing in God's interest in investing in us directly, dynamically, on a day-to-day basis, speaking to us directly, rather than only through the filter of the written word.
And it's again like weigh everything against the written word.
Everything, absolutely. It should be the authority.
It's not a substitute for the written word.
No.
It is an addition. And I think, like, to say, like, well, no, it can only come through the written word. And I'm like, well, even among cessationalist circles, when you say, like, well, I feel like the Lord is leading me. Well, if it's only through the written word, nowhere does it ever say, like, you should go to a different church.
Yeah, you should go to Oklahoma City.
Or you should have this job. That's not in there.
Right.
And I think, like, that's where it's like, well, you can't have it both ways.
Right.
And you can't be like, well, the Lord speaks to me on occasion about these things, and I feel like he's, like, either he only speaks to the written word, or he also speaks to you, like,
right.
in these different ways. And I don't know.
And we're not trying to argue with people, but these are the arguments we've had within ourselves growing up.
Absolutely.
I mean, I grew up Baptist, and I was taught that there, you know, the worst things you could ever do were smoke, drink, or speak in tongues. You know, those were the evil things that you're going to be tempted to do, Phil, as a young Christian. And I was like, well, I get the smoking and the drinking, but speaking in tongues, how is that bad? Because Even as a young lad, back in the mother country.
Back in the day there, lad. There, laddie.
There was a young girl at our high school. The two most godly young ladies at my high school that I knew were from charismatic churches.
Yeah.
And I was like, how? There is so much just Jesus shining off of both these girls. I know they both speak in tongues, but how is that? So how is that bad? How does their habit of doing something that I've been told may be demonic, how does it make them so holy and so pure and so happy.
Well, yeah, I do think there's this like, there's a want to like, I disagree with you about this, so therefore everything you do must be wrong. And it's just like, I just don't think that's the way it works.
As I get older, Lucas, I find many of our theological, so-called theological disagreements, I think are fueled by just a need to be right and a need to be in a group that's right.
Yeah. When it, I don't know. I think when we start to take out these spiritual gifts, you know, and really we cherry pick and take out the ones we
right,
want.
Yeah, that's true.
It creates this, it's duty over desire, right? Mm. And like, why do we follow this? Well, because like we're supposed to.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, but like the Holy Spirit is what fills us with joy.
Yeah.
Where does this peace that surpasses all understanding come from? It's because the Holy Spirit dwells within me and brings peace when there shouldn't be.
Right.
Why can my flesh die? Right? Like, if the Spirit is not filling you and yet your flesh is dying, then you're just a corpse.
Yeah.
Right? Christ within me, all of these things. Sorry, Philip. We probably won't edit that out, but we say we will.
Yeah, move just mic a little bit.
That's not tongues, folks. It's a technical difficulty.
Just, if Christ is in you and he's the one that's giving you joy, how, you know, how would you ever want to sort of quench his movement in your life?
Yeah. And it's weird. Okay. I don't want to overlook and be like, this is just normal. No, it's not. And that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
Right. Like Christianity is supposed to be countercultural. We're supposed to be weirdos. We're supposed to be different than the rest of the world.
Right.
This doesn't mean just, you know, go wear an anime shirt so you're different than everybody. But like the Holy Spirit and the way it works, like tongues are weird, right?
They are, yeah.
Visions and dreams are weird.
It's a little
healings
strange.
Are weird. Prophecy is weird. All of this is strange, and it's supposed to be. The supernatural is supposed to be odd.
Okay? Yeah.
But so was a carpenter dying on the cross for our sins and then being raised to life after 3 days.
Absolutely.
Jesus walked around and he was weird, right? The Pharisees wanted to put him out. Why? Because his message was different, right? A God who loves the world enough that when he floods it, he would save humanity is weird.
Yeah.
Right? A God who loves the world so much that he would send his son to die on the cross for us. Like all of these things. And so to think that like our lives are supposed to be normal now, this is just an Americanized gospel, which is not a gospel at all. Yeah. We're supposed to be different.
Yeah.
And again, like to our cessationalist brothers who believe that this stuff is tough, like I still think you are believers.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying like, oh, if you don't do this, you are not a follower of Christ. But I am saying, right, like if you look like the rest of the world, perhaps you need to take an introspective look at yourself.
Yeah. Well, and we're not talking about walking around the streets babbling in tongues.
No.
Just to be weird. Not talking about being weird just to be weird. You know, walking up to people on the street and saying, you know, putting your hand on their head and saying, fire!
Right, or you just walk up and just like slap somebody. And like,
yeah.
Or, you know, like the Kenneth Copeland type stuff. And there are false prophets out there who have there are these things happening where I think you can look and you can go, that's clearly not from the Lord.
And I've seen it. I've seen people manufacturing, you know, manifestations or people, you know, I've seen guys in quote unquote healing lines pushing people down.
Yeah.
So they'd fall. I mean, again, like, that's not right.
Biblical discernment. And I think it's, you can't take the extreme and then cast a shadow over the entire movement, if you will.
Right. Yeah.
And say like, well, these guys are wrong. So that means that everything, anything at all, or even the like, well, if they're doing it, and it may be real, but just to be careful, we'll leave it aside. Like,
sure. Which I think that's probably the culture that I was raised in.
Yeah.
That, well, we don't know about that, and so let's just tell our kids that let's just sort of teach that we don't do that.
Yeah.
But then, again, like for me, that sort of brought its way into, well, if they're saying it's bad and it's a spiritual thing that seems to happen, it must come from a different spirit. So then it goes from being, well, we don't know, to being evil.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's why we have the Word and we have the Holy Spirit. We have both.
This is the hard part with, like, I have little kids right now, and like, how much do you protect them? And then how much do you allow them to live to learn lessons and live dangerously, you know? And it's the idea of like, hey, it's cold outside. Now we need to bring a coat. No, I don't want to bring a coat. You know, like, well, if it's, you know, -3, I'm going to make her wear a coat when we go outside.
Yeah.
But if it's like, you know, 40, and it's chilly, like, this is probably a good time to learn a lesson. You know, like, I'm going to let you walk out there and you're going to be like, Dad, it's cold. I'm like, yeah, it is. Like, you probably should have listened to me. I don't know. Yeah, all of good. That. I don't know exactly where all we were going to go with this.
Well, no, I mean, I would like to say that my personal experience with the whole, I've been in a charismatic church. I've been in a Baptist church. I was in a Baptist church for, the, you know, 10, 15 years of my early adulthood and ministry. And, but it was kind of a, what you might call a spirit-filled Baptist church. Mm. Nobody was speaking in tongues in the service or having words of prophecy necessarily as a part of the service, but it was understood and it was taught that the spiritual gifts, these things, prophecy, tongues, healing, are for today. These are things that God wants to use in you, in your life, both to minister to one another and to minister to evangelize the world.
Yeah.
So it was a Baptist church, but one that believed in the gifts being for today. Then I moved to, for about 10 years, a full-on charismatic, what you might call a word of faith church, mm-hmm. where honestly, that you know, that's where I experienced some of the stuff that was most amazing, most wonderful, like what you described. Mm-hmm. You know, God speaking to me and using me in ways I thought, wow, how is this even possible mm-hmm. that I know to say what I'm saying right now? It's also where I saw probably some people think because it's the culture, it's kind of what you do. They had to sort of manufacture, you know, falling on the floor or whatever, you know, getting happy, you know, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
They kind of, you kind of think, well, I don't know if that's real or not.
Right.
But again, the scripture in 1 Corinthians, you know, 14 or 12, 13, 14, where we see a lot of the instructions about the spiritual gifts, where mm-hmm. they were being abused in Corinth, but they were also being used for great good.
Right.
One of the things it says is that, you know, we judge all things. Everything needs to be subject to the judgment of the scripture and of the Holy Spirit. You wait until afterward.
Absolutely.
And then let it be confirmed by two or three witnesses.
Yeah.
So there, I saw some great stuff. I saw some not so great stuff. But I will say, from the time I was very young, like the idea of a prayer language, which, you know, is not even really a scriptural phrase, but it's kind of implied and taught. Mm-hmm. You know, when we call it praying in the Spirit. And I honestly believe you can probably pray in the Spirit without a so-called language attached to it, because mm-hmm. Paul says at one point, it's groanings too deep for words, groanings that can't be uttered. So I am one of those that believes well, that can be with a quote-unquote prayer language or without, mm-hmm. but it is so valuable to me, partly because, and this is the discussion of the whole spiritual gifts, is that partly because when I pray, as Paul says, when I pray in the Spirit, my mind is unfruitful. Mm. And he's saying on the one hand, there also then needs to be a prayer from the mind. Mm-hmm. But there's such a great value in doing something or experiencing something from the Lord that bypasses my logic and my reason and my analytical thinking. And that prayer language, or sometimes those prayers that don't have words, they bypass my logical thinking. And it lets me know that this physical world is not all there is. This is not the ultimate reality. There's a reality greater and a power greater within me than what I can see.
Yeah.
So it's a great testimony to me personally and a great reminder, source of strength.
Absolutely.
You know, praying in the Spirit, whatever that means to you, I think it certainly includes a prayer language at least at times.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you're right in the just kind of going back in the, all of this should be judged, right? Yeah. All of this can come back and you should look back at it. And it's not just a trump card where it's like, well, it was a spiritual gift, so whatever we said is fine, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's, I got it how, in prayer.
Exactly. Brother. And there's clear instructions. And here's where I think too, we have good confirmation that these things still happen, is why would so much of Paul's letters be about how to use spiritual gifts in the church if the spiritual gifts don't happen anymore.
Right.
Why would he spend so much time talking about how you should correctly speak in tongues?
Right.
If he's like, but actually in about 100 years, it's going to cease. So all this will be kind of useless to you. So
yeah, it's,
and I think I agree. There are people who have gone way far beyond, but there is these things where you can clearly see where people have been built up, bodies have been built up, churches have been built up. The bride of Christ is built up by these things. Mm. I think we're getting close to running out of time here, Phil, but just to encourage you, if you're like, this podcast is going off the deep end and I'm not going to listen anymore, just, we love you. We would love for you to keep listening. If this is not for you, we get it. And it's okay. Like, I would encourage our listeners though, if you've grown up and you haven't really ever explored these, to really dive into scripture and read, I would encourage Remnant Radio is a great podcast. And this is not me recommending a podcast I know nothing about. This is actually, they say this is a podcast about pastors who actually are doing the things that are in scripture. And it's three pastors of Word and Spirit churches who believe in scripture and are cementing everything there. So I think
have not listened to that, but I'll check it out.
It's a good one to really go in. And if you've never experienced any of this, just to kind of listen. And they kind of go through this last cessationist documentary that came out and kind of refute the claims that they give, which I thought was very good. So a lot of good stuff there. But Phil?
Well, and I'll just, my final word is that it's all, everything, if I can speak in tongues and do all the stuff and have not love, I have nothing. It's all about love.
Absolutely.
The goal of our instruction is love. 1 Timothy 5, 2 Timothy 5. I don't know. I can't remember the address. It's in Timothy, one of the Timothy letters. The goal of our instruction is love out of a pure heart, sincere faith, and a clear conscience.
Yeah.
So go, man. We love you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to take my minute of curmudgeonry as the music plays. I would just say, we've had a little bit of trouble with the Thriving in Ministry contest, our podcast. We love you guys, but if you try to come for our segments again.
Just, I don't know. You can't see this on the podcast, but Lucas used finger quotes when he said love. Or was it guys?
I did not.
I don't know.
I don't know. I love Kyle and Matt. No, for real, though. We've had our deals. This may be a fake rivalry, but it's a rivalry nonetheless.
No.
And so.
We love these guys.
Yeah, for real. I'm standing on a table shirtless in anger, just gnashing my teeth as they have a segment called
Over Under.
Over Under.
Over Under.
And so, Phil, I would just ask you, Over Under, Thriving in Ministry podcast, what would you rate it? What would you rate it?
I cannot. I refuse to answer on the grounds that I might incriminate myself.
I really hope you guys text me, Kyle and Matt, after you hear this. Everybody else, we love you.
And
we're glad you listened.
Yes, and also. All right. So, So also, email us at secondbreakfast777@gmail.com.
Or secondbreakfast777@gmail.com.
Either one of those addresses still works. We never check either one of them, but they work.
Also, you can reach us on the DMs. You can find me on Facebook, Lucas Lunsford. Also on Instagram, or now Be Real, at Snoop DeLuke. Phil, what's
Snoop
your handle?
Snoop DeLuke. Nope.
Cool. All right, we love y'all. We will talk to you later. Okay, bye.
Bye.